The first baseman sold newspapers, and I ran a barber shop up in the grandstand. Of course, I can't expect anyone to remember that far back, because I can't remember it myself. But just to give you an idea, Smith, how quickly people forget, I'm going to ask the folks here in Shell Chateau tonight how many can remember when on this very site formerly stood the old New York Polo Ground. Now, all those who can remember that, just stand on your head in the center aisle so Smith can count you. And you folks listening in who can remember that far back, please stand up if you're sitting down, or sit down if you're standing up. Just as I thought, I'm the only one who knew that. And I don't mean the old Polo Grounds. I mean the old Polo Grounds. Well, sir, some 72-odd years ago, this coming Wednesday, we played the deciding game of the season. There were only three cities in the league at that time. There was New York, Philadelphia, and Hollywood. Of course, we used Hollywood to break our jump between New York and Philadelphia. And besides, the weather was better in Hollywood, unusually. Now, let's get ahead of my story and go back to the day of the game. A million people were in the grandstand 2 days before the game was to start. I wouldn't be exaggerating if I said there were less than a million. But to give you an idea, the size of the grounds, the home plate was right about where that lady sitting wearing the smile. Sister lady, no game today. And the center field bleachers, if I'm not mistaken, I probably am mistaken, but if I'm not mistaken, the center field bleachers were out around Evansville, Indiana. Well, sir, my manager came up to me in the grandstand and he says, "Mr. Spaulding," I went under the name of Spaulding in those days. It saved me the trouble of autographing baseball. He says, "Mr. Spaulding, you're next at bat." And I says, "Can't you see I'm busy shaving this man?" And he says, "Yes, but Fred the catcher is back and he's up next. And if you don't bat right away, he'll go home and start painting the other side of his house again." And I says, "He can't, because he's the man I'm shaving." Of course, you don't recognize him because he's only got one ear now. But I says, "Okay, I'll bat." So I start down for the diamond. Now, it was in the ninth inning, and the score was tied. 5-3, favor of us. We need 6 runs to win. I am playing second base and right field. I am too good for one position. We have 4 men on base, 2 men on second, 1 little short fella the umpire couldn't see him. And Babe Ruth's grandfather was pitching. I turned to our bat boy, little Lefty O'Doul, and I says, "Lefty?" He says, "What is it, Mr. Delahanty?" I went under the name of Delahanty for some time. I says, "Bring me my bat." So Lefty and 3 other fellas carried my bat over for me. I used a telegraph pole for a bat in those days. I was very tall at one time, but my mama left me out in the rain. Well, sir, I crouched down in that well-known pose of mine, as was my wont. I crouch down, the ball comes sailing over the pan, I land into the old apple, she goes right out over the center field fence, and at that, I top the ball. Well, sir, I start for first base, the crowds are hollering, "Hooray for Gensler!" They knew me under the name of Gensler. The crowds are cheering, the band's playing, the king and queen are throwing kisses to me, the railroads began running excursions into the park, and the crowd started to throw money at me. I picked up over $9,000 on my way to first base alone. And put it in an old iron safe I always carried on my back when I ran base. And I start for second base, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. This was a doubleheader we were playing that day. And just as I am sliding in home, the umpire, Daniel Boone, he hollers out, "Foul ball." Well, sir, you wouldn't give two pins for me at that moment. I rush up to him. I threw off my overcoat. We always played in our overcoat. There I stood in my bathing suit. I got off my bicycle. There was a league rule. Never argue with an umpire while on a bicycle. And I says, "Did you call that a foul?" He says, "Certainly." I says, "How could it be foul when I hit the ball to center field?" He says, "Yes, but you hit it over the center fielder's head." Of course, he had me there. I couldn't answer that. But I did. I said, "Yeah, but look how short that center fielder is." Well, he took out his telescope and looked and said, "Well, no wonder he's so short. Why, the sap is standing in a 4-foot hole." Well, you know, that so discouraged me with baseball, I tore down the old park that night and built a saloon. I have the largest bar room in the world. Right here, you may have heard your father speak of it. The old last chance silver dollar half brow square deal red line inn cocktail bar cafe. So for short, we just put up a sign that said saloon. But it was the biggest bar room in the world, 990 feet in length, and only one bartender. He worked on horseback. Until Prohibition came along, then I bought him a motorcycle. And one spring, we had a big flood, so he tended bar in a speedboat. And we did so much business, we had to keep open 8 and 10 days a week. And every time a customer bought a drink, the bartender drank with him. Till finally, one day, he looked into the mirror, and when he saw his red nose, he thought it was a stoplight and closed up the place. Say, by the way, Smith, did you ever play baseball?
In my younger days.
But you played the modern game, Mike. They played up in Boston.
Oh, wait a minute, Joe. Wait a minute. You're not going all through that again, are you?
No, I'm getting out of here. See you later, Smith.